My name is Bill DeYoung. This is Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. St. Petersburg Opera Company is back tonight at the Palladium Theater with Georges Bizet's Carmen. And there are five performances, which is a little unusual for St. Pete Opera, but we're going to talk about that while we speak to my old friend, Maestro Mark Sforzini.
Hi, Bill. Great to see you.
And we have mezzo-soprano Sichelle Claveret.
Yes. Hi, Bill. Nice to meet you.
You're in the key role, the title role, yes. Playing Carmen. Lots to talk about. Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we open tonight. Mark, I wanted to ask you, first of all, there are 5 performances. Now, we've essentially seen 3 performances from SPO, and they're always very well attended. Is this a sort of a reaction to that? Let's put on a couple of more because we got more people coming in.
Well, the show is extremely well sold. The Sunday matinee is sold out. The second Sunday is almost sold out. There's still a few seats left for tonight. You might be able to pick something up for Tuesday and Friday next week, too. But it's really selling very well. We decided to do 5 because it's a very popular opera. Mm-hmm. And prior to the pandemic, we did some productions where we did 5 shows in June, and they did sell out. They did sell very well. So we're hoping to get back to that pre-pandemic level of enthusiasm for great grand operas.
Is June a good month for you?
June is really it's a great month for us, actually. I mean, there's a lot less competition from other things to go and do and see. And our history began with doing an opera in June every year. That's how St. Pete Opera started. So it's a tradition for us. And next season, we'll close the 20th season with 5 performances of La Bohème.
Tell me about Carmen. Now, I know you did a Mornings with the Maestro recently. Why is it so popular? Let's put that one to you.
Well, I think there's 2 things. I think the drama of the story is very popular, and it resonates with people. And then, as I explained in the morning show, Bizet's music is a masterpiece. You know, this is my 3rd time doing the entire opera, and I've done scenes from the opera dozens and dozens of times. And I marvel every time that I keep discovering new, amazing, wonderful things in the score. And that's a masterpiece when you just keep revisiting it and you keep discovering deeper and deeper layers to the music.
There's more to music than Toreador and Habanera.
You know, those are some of the most popular things.
From Gilligan's Island.
But beautifully crafted and cleverly crafted music comes in other parts of the operas that aren't
this
even
is
parts
what I was,
of those most famous
This is
scenes.
What I was asking you. So you're saying it's that full, it's that rich.
Yeah, the duets, the trios, the quintets, the finales to the acts where all the characters come in and the chorus as well. It's great music throughout. It's more than just the Toreador song and the Habanera.
Let's talk about casting Carmen, because this lovely young lady is sitting right here. Let's embarrass her by talking about her for a minute.
opening night.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, opening night. Nothing to make you nervous about, Sichelle, but, you know. Okay, so you need somebody who, not only, you've done this role before, I know,
yes.
We're going to talk about that, but somebody who can embody that sort of seductive spirit. Carmen is quite a famous character in opera. It's very, you have to be very, I'm going to ask you, though, you have to be very careful about how you cast this. You need that smoky mezzo voice and, somebody who can do the flirty stuff, if you'll pardon the expression.
She flirts so well.
Well, there you go. I've been watching videos of different people doing the music and, you know, looking at various Carmens. It's a very, unlike a lot of characters in opera, it's very specific, I think.
Yeah.
How did you find Sichelle?
So most seasons we hold auditions in New York City every spring. And so Sichelle was there for the auditions. And I really liked her in the audition. And so then I went and I snooped around her website and other media. And it all kind of confirmed what I felt from the live audition. And I have to say now that we've been, working together 3.5 weeks. I'm very thrilled with my choice. We're having a great time.
Oh, good.
Welcome to opening night, folks.
Yeah, it's just like.
one more question about casting, which is something I thought about a little earlier, is that once you get your leads, and the all-important leads, hello, to in your cast. What's the proposition like for casting the ensemble? I mean, are there go-to people or go-to types? Are there people who do more ensemble work and, yeah, these guys can do? Or do you just pick whoever comes along? What's the process like in fleshing out the cast?
Well, I guess we have like 9 principal characters, and then we have chorus. We have like 33 people in the chorus.
Well, that's what I meant, the ensemble. Yeah,
Our chorus is fabulous, mm-hmm. and it's made up of really just the best singers who live here in the area, as well as I think 7 of our covers. These are people understudying in case they need to go on for a principal character.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they also sing in the chorus as well. And it's really, I have to boast that the chorus is an amazing character in this show, and they are doing a great job.
So many of your performers are young people. When you bring in young people, and again, I'm not talking about established lead performers like our friend Sichelle here, but you know, the chorus, some of the smaller players, do you find, I've always wondered this, that they're familiar with the music already. Oh, I know Carmen. Or is it, you know, this is something new to learn. Obviously, you work with them and you have to teach them. But, I mean, do they come in already familiar with a lot of the grand operas? And
the chorus is like a segment of society, and it spans generations. I mean, I have I got somebody in the chorus older than you, Bill. No, just kidding.
Possible.
People doing, you know, some what you might consider older people doing their first Carmen ever. And then, like, I have a young lady in the chorus, and she sang in the Carmen youth chorus when we did it 10 years ago.
Wow.
And now she's back singing in the adult chorus as a young woman.
But if they come in and say, oh, yes, you know, I've done Così fan tutte, or I've done, you know, something that I can't think of right now, but I've always wanted to do Carmen just because I hear it's great. But do you have to teach them the story every time, or do they just come in already knowing it? Is that part of what they have to do?
I think people do their own personal level of research that they're comfortable doing. Some probably study that in depth. Others come wanting and waiting to learn more about it. I did prepare the chorus for this show. So mm-hmm. I did serve as a chorus master, and I worked with them from their very first rehearsal on teaching them the French diction and what everything meant that they were singing and how to sing it.
And they're all incredible, may I say, on stage. It's been so much fun to interact with them. They feel like real people, not just like, you know, they're standing and singing.
The chorus.
They feel like they're Carmen's friends, or just part of the world. They really help the world building, and they're all incredible and so generous.
What's it like for you? I assume you've never worked here before.
Right, it's my first time.
So what is it like for you coming into a new city? Is it work, 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 work? Do you go out and have a glass of wine with your pals, or do you basically just go back to wherever you're staying and work on your lines?
Right. It's been a lot of work, but we all have a lot of fun during the process, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, before a day off, after a long day of work, we do hang out. We go for a beer, a glass of wine to relax, and also getting to know each other outside of work and bonding that way really informs how we relate to each other.
Does that
on
really
stage.
Happen? That's what I wonder, because that sounds like something that you would say, and God love you, you know, but is it true?
Oh, totally.
You know, it's like, oh, I love the beach here. Well, I've been to the pier. Do you go to the museums and do all that stuff?
Not yet. Not yet, because I'm usually exhausted.
Well, there's the rub, right?
Yeah. But, you know, I'm going to stay in the area for a couple of days after, because it's so lovely here. I want to kind of have a little vacation and explore the area. So.
Well, it's warm enough.
Right, yeah. Well, the heat never bothered me.
So. You're transition. You're from Mexico.
Exactly.
Which, it's probably a little warm there a lot of the year, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You went to school in Texas.
Yes.
I mean, I have to plead ignorance and say, okay, someone from a country such as Mexico, how do you get interested in French and Italian grand opera?
That's a good question.
Oh, okay. Well, give me a good answer.
Yeah. So what happened, well, for me, I was in a theater troupe in Mexico City. I was an actress, and I had to play Well, I had to play a prostitute in a play. Mm-hmm. A French lady of the night.
Ah, the best kind I've heard.
Right, I've heard. Well, yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, right.
So they asked me to sing some Satie and Poulenc songs that are very kind of, as we say, smoky and seductive and mysterious. And so I went to a voice teacher to learn how to sing in French. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, actually, you're very talented. You should, like, you know, take it more seriously. And then I was in a production that needed some actors, but it was an opera.
Yeah.
And I met a voice teacher there. So I started taking lessons with her. And she turns out to be in the vocal voice faculty of Houston, University of Houston.
Right.
So she really encouraged me to do that. So I found that opera is the best mix of beautiful music, very complex music with storytelling. Which is like both of my favorite things.
Oh, there you go.
So I mean, decided to do that instead of just acting.
As an actress, I mean, it's all about storytelling.
And, right.
Every one of the people who do what you do that I've spoken to, I think every one of them has said, I either started musical theater or I was a singer. Mm-hmm. And a voice teacher said, I hear something in your voice. Would you like to try opera?
Opera, right.
You know, it's tried and true story. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm saying. So how does one decide this is going to be my profession? I'm going to go out and, I mean, you've been all around the world. You've sung with symphonies, you performed here, there, everywhere, and some other things I want to talk about, but you've done Carmen how many times?
This is my fourth time.
Okay.
No, fifth time. Sorry. Yes.
I mean, is that a conscious decision? I'm going to go where the work takes me.
Kind of.
Rather than I want the white picket fence and, you know.
I mean, what makes me the happiest to, like, wake up to. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I don't know if that's good English, but when I wake up in the morning and I know that I'm going to perform or make music.
I love music too, so it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's just, that's what makes me happy. It's hard because there's no guarantees. There's not a steady paycheck. So it gets scary sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But I think the payoff when you're actually working is so grand that it's just worth it.
You get to meet a lot of new people, too.
Yes.
You know, everybody gets along in this cast.
As far as I know.
That's reiteration there.
It doesn't happen always, but when it does, it's amazing.
How do you make Carmen different? Four times.
That's a very good question.
Well, okay. There's another very good question. I'm writing these down.
You're really good. Carmen, I think, is so complex. Every time I play her, I find a new layer on her, especially since I'm growing older as I'm playing her over and over again.
Oh, sure.
So my personal experience and how I'm maturing also informs how I play her. Mm-hmm. And also my colleagues is also what they feed me, like how I'm reacting to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmen is just such a fascinating character because if you just play her like a femme fatale or a seductress, then you're missing half of her story. Mm-hmm. She's a survivor. She's an outcast. She was a Romani. She's a woman. And back then you had no power. And she's been objectified by all the men around her.
Right.
And it's like, instead of playing the victim, she's like, I'm going to use my beauty, which is my currency, my power, to get ahead, to survive, to get what I want.
Her feminine wiles
exactly.
is what they always say. Yeah.
But that's her only currency. That's her power. And she doesn't play the victim. She actually enjoys it. She has fun. And I think I like a Carmen that is having fun. You know? I think we all do. When they take themselves too seriously, then it's like, okay.
One thing that I read about you, Sichelle, is that you are, quote, a champion of new operatic works.
Yes.
So, in other words, these are things that have not maybe been produced before, or the things with video that you've done, rather experimental. Is that thrilling, or is it slightly intimidating, or is it like, I can't wait?
It is very exciting.
If you fail, you fail big time.
Yeah. Hmm? But, you know, I think that happens in every endeavor, right?
Sure. I've written some bad stories, let's put it that way. Yeah.
So there's always, when there's a lot of risk, there's also a lot of excitement. And if you score, then it's even better than if it's low risk. So I think it's very exciting to collaborate with creatives and just create something that hasn't been done before. And it's very rewarding to tell new stories, to tell stories that are inspired by modern times, by modern happenings, or the state of the world.
Well, tell me about Everything for Dawn. This was the video series that you did. Can you briefly tell me about that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. This was, there's a indie company in New York City called Experiments in Opera, and they do all sorts of new formats for the opera genre. And 12 composers were commissioned, I hope I remember that correctly, to write one episode each.
Yeah.
And funny enough, or magically, even though there were 12 composers, the sound style was very cohesive in the telling of this story. And we were going to perform it live, like a marathon of episodic opera in like in a weekend. But the pandemic happened and everything changed.
How interesting.
So they decided to film it as a serialized opera. So now you can watch it on your computer.
Well, I'm headed there as soon as we're done here.
Yeah.
Tango Opera, you had something called Maria de Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires, yes.
And what is that? Are you a dancer as well?
Well, I'm a mover.
I know the feeling.
Mark is...
she's an excellent mover.
Okay. Yes.
That works. So tell me about this one.
Well, that's a tango operita, calls it, the Piazzolla. And that is this Argentinian composer, Piazzolla, who was kind of one of the first ones to combine a folk or popular music genre with a classical way. I don't know if, Mark, you know more about this, but he started to take a tango, which is, you know, a folk popular form of music in Argentina, and created classical music, classical, you know, chamber music with it, and an opera.
There was a vocal element.
Exactly. Very and it works like an opera in its narrative, but it's all tango music. So
now I was told that El Milagro del Recuerdo was a mariachi opera.
Yes,
and I love mariachi music, so that intrigued me. What does that mean?
Yeah, it was commissioned by Houston Grand Opera because there's a lot of Latino community down there, and they paired with mariachi de Tecatitlan, one of the most famous mariachis in the world, to write this opera in the mariachi style. And there's mariachi singers, legit mariachi singers. There's opera singers, and then there's in between, and the role that I was playing is kind of in between of the opera style with the more folky mariachi style, and it blends beautifully because mariachi is so dramatic and so like the voices soar kind of like operatically, so it just works really well. And I mean, the operas tell stories about, you know, the immigrants and their struggles. So it really resonated with the audiences, especially in Texas.
It's all about telling stories.
Again. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Maestro, is this the end of this season?
We're ending our 19th season.
And so you'll pick up in, what, October maybe?
We're going to have opening night of Susanna by Carlisle Floyd on October 17th.
You're doing Susanna again. I saw that written down. Wow.
Our Susanna for that will be Jessica Sandage, and she's not a stranger to the SPO stage. She sang the lead of Violetta in La Traviata.
I knew that name. Yeah, fantastic. Are you doing any of those outdoor things, or was that just pandemic time? That was so cool when you were doing those.
Yeah, well, we do have planned an outdoor version of our Holiday Sparkle show for North Stroud Park in December.
Oh, that's
coming up in December.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, fantastic. Things are good otherwise. I'm just asking generally.
Yes, you know, we have been blessed to have such wonderful supporters through the years that we've really, for 19 years, we've operated in the black. And continue to do so, and we're starting to build our endowment, and we're really excited about our 20th anniversary.
One last question that just popped into my head. The Palladium's going to shut down for a while, right? When they're, you know,
Rebuilding
the bathrooms
until,
or something.
I believe the schedule for that is after we finish the Boheme in June 2026.
Have you got plans for where you're gonna work while they're under reconstruction?
We're going to adapt some things to do them at Opera Central. We're going to do a lot of shows at our home building at Opera Central. We may venture out to do some things in some other venues as well, but we're kind of just researching that, not ready to announce anything yet.
Well, let us focus one last time on Bizet's Carmen, which opens tonight at the Palladium Theater, which isn't still intact, by the way, and quite beautiful. And these guys, it's a full orchestra, beautiful costumes, beautiful sets. You don't want to miss it. It's tonight, it's the 8th, it's the 10th, it's the 13th, and it's the 15th. And the 15th, I'm guessing, is the
second Sunday.
Yes. You say that one's selling really well, too.
Yes, but there's still some seats for that, too. Yeah.
And you want to go to stpeteopera.org. I think the Palladium site probably sends you right back to stpeteopera.org. Either way, you can get your tickets by either one.
We volley the people back and forth, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
When it gets close to showtime, it actually transitions over to the Palladium website. But the links on our website just automatically take you where you need to go. So it's all very user-friendly.
Well, I want to say thank you to both of you. We'll see you at one of these shows,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
See you all at the Palladium.